my routine coming home from my games each and every week, whether it's the somehow, some way, 6-hour drive from Knoxville Sunday, which should have only been 4, whether it's flying, connecting through Atlanta, whatever it is, I load up the Andy Staples podcast every Sunday morning.
Wow.
And you should too, because it is the absolute best at just going right back over a day of college football that just take place, and sometimes actually happening while college football is taking place, like this week, Andy, when I heard you kind of had to stop your discussion because of actually what was going on in Knoxville with the Tennessee Ole Miss game. I want to start there and just get your thoughts on everything that took place Saturday night at Neyland Stadium with Lane Kiffin, with Josh Heupel, with Tennessee, with Ole Miss, with the fans. What did you come away from that game thinking after you were able to take it all in?
Well, Cole, first I need to ask you, how did we do? You were on the field. I was trying to, because we were just talking about the Florida situation, and I look up and I see cops on the field talking to Lane Kiffin and Josh Heupel. Like, what the hell just happened? And so, everything had to stop, and I can't even imagine what it was like down there on the field. But yeah, I think this is a case where Tennessee fans, and look, it's a very small group of Tennessee fans that was throwing stuff. They should not be throwing stuff. Don't do it. I know it's largely the student section. Just don't do it, because they're going to do stuff. Like I know in England, or I don't know if it was England, but in Europe, they had issues with soccer fans throwing stuff, and they just cleared the stadium and said, we're going to play without fans. Don't make them even think about that. It's not that big of a deal. Look, you think you got screwed on a call, congratulations. You're like every other fan base on. They all think they got screwed on a call, but they don't all throw stuff. So don't throw stuff. It's pretty simple. But as far as Tennessee goes, I think Tennessee fans should be ecstatic with the way this season has gone. Because think about everything that happened in the offseason. Everything that went down, from the firing of Jeremy Pruitt to everybody leaving. I mean, this is a much better season than you could have possibly hoped for, given the circumstances. And it also should tell you the future could be bright. I mean, I know a lot of people weren't excited about Josh Heupel as a hire, but find me something he's done wrong here. It looks like he's done everything right since he's gotten there, except maybe starting Joe Milton over Hinton Hooker. But they did fix that, and unfortunately, you know, you saw Hooker get hurt at the end of the game.
Well, you lost a game partly because Joe Milton missed, gosh, 5 or 6 throws against Pitt. So it did cost him a game. I think Heupel's done a great job at, I think, just steadying the ship. But what could have been a great positive night for Tennessee ended in disappointment, and that's all anyone was talking about after the game. So not ideal if you are the Tennessee Volunteers. I feel like the fan base can't help themselves. They continue to shoot their program in the foot. When 2 steps forward, 1 step back, I'm hoping, really, really, really hoping that they stop doing that. Whether it's boycott Neyland, whether it's, you know, the Shiano situation, whether it's this situation on Saturday night, it's a bad look. And I think it probably had a negative impact on the recruiting, especially for those recruits that were in attendance. The other things that are going on, though, LSU, I do want to get you on LSU. I think I'm about to lose it if I look at one more writer's opinion about this job opening. It's the same cast of characters every single time. Luke Fickell. I'm so over it. Like, can we get some creativity?
I don't think Luke Fickell would take the LSU job, and I'm not sure that's who they're going after, but yeah.
Well, you know what I'm saying, though. It's the same guy. Like, every job opens, oh, well, who's the best candidates for USC? Matt Campbell, Luke Fickell. It's like all the same people every single time. Can we get some creativity when it comes to this opening here at LSU?
Well, just knowing Scott Woodward, Greg, I think we know he's going to go elephant hunting first. You know, he's gonna try to take some big swings. Like Bruce Feldman, who I work with at The Athletic, he reported yesterday that maybe he takes a swing at Dabo Swinney. I wouldn't be shocked if he did call and make Dabo's agents, you know, Dabo through his agents say no. I wouldn't be shocked if he called about Lincoln Riley and make him say no. There's no reason not to try, and I know that's how Scott Woodward feels about this stuff because I've talked to him about it. When he was at Texas A&M and he hired Jimbo Fisher, he told me the story about hiring at Washington. His, you know, he Steve Sarkisian goes to USC, and he's looking at a bunch of different candidates. And I think Jim Mora was probably the front runner for the job if he was willing to leave UCLA for it, because he's from Seattle. And so that was probably the direction they were going to go. And then out of the blue, he gets a call from Chris Peterson's agent. And it's, would you guys be interested in Chris Peterson? And he's like, wait, well, of course we would. And then stops the search. So whatever we got to do, we're signing Chris Peterson. And from that point forward, he said he was never going to assume somebody was off the board, because why not? He didn't know Chris Peterson was even interested, and he was kicking himself for not thinking about that first, but he was glad he got him. So that really was the genesis of how Scott Woodward wound up hiring Jimbo Fisher, who, you know, we know now about the problems at Florida State, but at the time all this was going on, you know, the thought was, well, he's won a national title there. They're going to eventually give him what he wants, and he'll wind up staying. So I would not be shocked if he does go for some big dogs first and make them say no. Now, let's say they do. Listen, I know James Franklin's name has come up. There's a reason for that. You can win national titles at Penn State at Penn State if you can get past Ohio State. You can win national titles at LSU, even if Nick Saban's at Alabama. Ed Orgeron showed you that 2 years ago. So that's a little bit different. But there's also the USC job that I think he would be a good fit for. So that's why his name comes up, because he can recruit the way that you need to recruit. He can coach them on the field the way you need to coach them on the field. But that makes sense. The one name that is going to be hot this carousel, and he's in a weird situation because he's only in second year. He had to leave his first job after 1 year because they made him an offer he couldn't refuse, is Mel Tucker at Michigan State, because he's done an amazing job there. He worked at LSU, and the LSU connection's a little tenuous. He worked there for Nick Saban on Nick Saban's first staff there, but it's not like he has roots there. He's a Midwestern guy, and he's a lot closer to home at Michigan State than he would be to LSU. But what he's done in East Lansing is pretty remarkable considering the roster he inherited. At LSU, whoever comes in is inheriting a roster that's ready to win right now.
Andy Staples of The Athletic joining us on the Bud Light Hotline. So we all agree that it's one of the best jobs in the country, and that you're much more capable of winning a national championship at LSU than a lot of other places. But I'm interested in, since you brought that name up, what direction as far as the kind of individual? We know that both of these schools, USC and LSU, are going to be able to get a top-notch coach. But what kind of individual do you think either of those jobs needs and wants? Because we saw both Mississippi schools move out of situations that I personally didn't think were as bad as a lot of the fan bases did and a lot of casual observers did, because they wanted headlines. They wanted billboards. They wanted retweets, likes. They wanted their name in lights. And that's essentially what they both got. Now, the satisfaction of what they got, maybe yet to be determined. I think it's probably looking a little bit better in Oxford right now than it is in Starkville. So from just that perspective, does it matter? And if so, what direction do you see either or both of those schools going?
I think you have to sell a little harder at USC. There's, for a couple of reasons. You know, when Pete Carroll got there, he understood that you're competing against the Lakers and the Dodgers for people's time. And now you're competing also against the Rams and the Chargers, who are both good, by the way, for people's time. And that's not an issue at LSU. So you got to be a little more of a salesman at USC. The other piece of why you got to be more of a salesman at USC is all those kids on the West Coast, if they're staying on the West Coast right now, they're going to Oregon. So you have to convince them why they shouldn't go to Oregon. If they're not staying on the West Coast, and that's a lot of them, they're going to Alabama, they're going to Clemson, they're going to Ohio State. You have to convince them why they should stay where they are. And so I think it'll take a better salesman for that one. LSU doesn't need a salesman. LSU sells itself. You've got the three national title trophies this century. That's all you got to show them. All you got to show them is here's all the LSU players that have gone in the NFL. Over three different head coaches in this century. It does not matter who's in this chair. You're going to go to the NFL and have a chance to win championships at LSU. So that part, the coach does not have to be as big of a salesman, especially in terms of fan attention. The fan attention is always going to be there. So it's more about ball. It's more about, can this person identify the right kind of players? Because you're gonna have your pick of players. It's how well can you choose the ones that fit what you do? And I think that's the part that LSU's got to be very careful about. Because what you saw the last couple of years with LSU is a lack of an identity. If Ed Orgeron knew what the identity of his program was coming off that national championship, then he would have been able to hire assistant coaches to continue that identity. But I don't know that they, because it happened so fast and all came together so well so quickly, I'm not sure they realized all the things that made it go well and so had a hard time hiring to that. They need someone who already knows what their program identity is and can recruit to that.
Have you been around Mel Tucker? Just out of curiosity.
Yes.
What are your thoughts?
I think he is great at motivating players. I think he has a very good plan about what kind of team you want. I mean, he's very much in the Nick Saban, Kirby Smart mold of, you know, corner. Greg, you know the critical factors. You know how they work. A corner's got to be 6 foot to 6'2". He's got to have loose hips. He's got to do, you know, there's the whole list of,
right,
of different
check
things
boxes
that they want.
Yes.
And he is going to do that. If you look at the roster he's trying to put together at Michigan State, he's doing that now. And that is very important to him. You talk to him about other teams. As he scouts other teams that they're going to play, he will refer to them in those terms. He's looking at body types. He's looking at how everything fits together in the puzzle. I know him pretty well because I wrote a book with a guy named Trevor Moad, who was a mental conditioning coach. He worked with Jimbo Fisher at Florida State. He worked with Saban at Alabama. You know him, Greg.
Yep.
And he worked with Kirby at Georgia, and that's where. So Mel got to know him in Alabama and then again at Georgia and took a lot of the stuff to Michigan State. So he's been teaching this book I helped write to his players. And so Mel and I talked quite a bit because Trevor and I wrote a second book, and unfortunately Trevor passed away in September from cancer. But Mel and I talked a lot about all this stuff in the spring as Trevor and I worked on the second book. So he's an interesting one because – you know, I didn't know a ton about him when he went from Georgia to Colorado. I was impressed, by the way. Like, remember when Colorado played Nebraska, and the thought was, okay, Nebraska's gonna roll over these guys. I think it was Scott Frost's second game, and Mel just, you know, handled them. And so, I think you've got a guy who is bound for success if he stays at Michigan State. But I think other schools are going to see why he's going to be successful, and there's going to be interest there. Now, the question is, would he do it? Because he did not want to leave Colorado after a year. He did not like the look of that. He was not happy to have to do that. But when Michigan State offers double your salary and double your assistant pool, there's really not – I mean, you're crazy to say no. And I don't know that the next type of – even if it's LSU, USC, something, a job like that – I don't know that that's going to happen because Michigan State's in the Big Ten. They can pay. So it's really, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with him because I do think there are going to be some schools that sniff around, especially depending on what other jobs come open because, guys, this is crazy. You know, it's mid-October. USC, LSU, and Washington State are open. Nebraska may open. If James Franklin takes something else, Penn State could open. I mean, even the backfilling of the jobs – could be crazy. Virginia Tech may open. There's a lot of action that could be happening here in the next few months.
Wild stuff, Andy. Appreciate the time. I'm going to ask you one question. I want a yes or no answer before we go to break. Is Cincinnati's trip to the potential college football playoff still at the mercy of Power 5 schools?
No, it's at the mercy of Notre Dame. They got to keep
there. You
winning.
Go. Okay,
that'll protect them.
I like it. And great stuff. Always appreciate the time. Look forward to catching up again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Andy Staples of The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Andy_Staples. Find his podcast, Apple Podcasts. Get it every Sunday to catch up on everything that happened on college football the day before. And you join us in the Bud Light Hotline.